We should. Yeah.
I'll go get one. I'm gonna get one. And hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtz is with you along with the snapper, Kendall Gammon, 15 years in the league and a Pro Bowl long snapper. After 2 weeks in the National Football League, there are six teams that are 2-0, 20 that are 1-1, and six that are 0-2. And two of those 0-2 teams meet at the Superdome this week, the Chiefs against the Saints. And let's start there, Kendall, because for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's time to win. Okay, where you're going, who you're playing, it's time to win a game.
Well, it is, and it doesn't matter whether you're at home or you're on the road. And, of course, this week we go to New Orleans. We talked about it last week. It's a wounded animal. You never like to be in their park. But the fact is, that's where you're going. You've got to get it done. Chiefs have to figure some things out and get in the win column.
Figure it out. Figure out a way. Yeah. Let's start with defense here. Now, after 2 weeks, the Kansas City Chiefs have only one sack and have forced no turnovers. That means they're at the bottom in the giveaway takeaway at -6. When you looked at the Buffalo loss, 35-17, what are we seeing in this defense? Because to me, I want to ask you this, because during the bye week, many times you kind of stop and have a plant shut down and do your cleanup and look at it. What about having that kind of bye week audit right now?
Well, you're exactly right, and the fact is you're going to have to deal with it while you're preparing for a game, but you've got to figure something out because right now it's not working. You talk about not putting pressure on the QB. That's something that has to happen. I think it will happen. I think the players are there, and I think we'll get this figured out, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, we expected in Buffalo, we expected with Tama coming back that he would have a little more success with things, and not to get on him because he's putting pressure all the time, but they did some things to counter everything, and quite honestly, that tackle did a decent job. It is what it is, but it is what it is also in terms of you've got to figure some things out. And this is while they're 0-2, New Orleans has some weapons. We all know about them. We're going to talk about them in a little bit. They've got some things. They can do some damage. We've got to figure out how to prevent that damage.
I want to ask you about the sub package we talk about all the time. There's a base 3-4. But of 57 snaps in the Buffalo game, Kansas City was in their sub package, that base sub package, with two down linemen, three linebackers, and six defensive backs.
Right.
44 snaps of the 57. Now, how about getting that to be better? Because in this game, Buffalo used C.J. Spiller a variety of ways. We just saw a regular draw play against it, but here he comes on a jet sweep. They lined him up in the slot, the X. They ran a scissors route to him that we're going to see right here for big plays. What about communicating? What about executing, whether you're in the base or you're in the sub?
Well, that communication is huge, and it's got to happen. You know, DJ talks about it, and we'll hear from him a little bit later. But you see C.J. Spiller and how he's being used. That's what you've got to deal with Sproles. This is a guy that they'll put everywhere. He had touches all over the field last week and did some good things. So you've got to figure it out. It's tough because you've got six defensive backs on the field. You've got them on there for a reason, but at times you've got bigs blocking smalls, and it can be a mismatch. So doing that audit this week, they've got to figure out how they're going to combat some of these things that are going on.
And Eric Berry has played near the line of scrimmage most of the time in that 2-3-6. So he's not back in coverage. They want him up near the line of scrimmage. But something's got to happen there because right now at all three levels in that sub package, teams are able to take advantage of it.
Well, you're right. And right now, you know, your leading tackler was DJ, but your second leading tackler was A.B. Elam. And that'd be okay if he was the guy that was the hybrid that was up there as a linebacker, but he's not. He's back in the backfield. You want Barry to be getting some tackles up there. So they've got to figure things out. It's not working right now, and you know, you've got to call it the way you see it. It's not going our way. The Chiefs have to figure some things out, and they will. You know, Romeo Crennel's been doing this a long time defensively, and he's talked about it. So I always said it's going to be interesting.
He's been a defensive coach in this league since the late 70s. When Romeo was asked this week about how to fix the defense, if you're doing this bi-week audit in week two going into New Orleans, it's a matter of figuring out and doing your job.
Are guys not doing what they're supposed to be doing then? Is that the ultimate?
No, let me give you an example, okay? I have run support. I'm the force guy on the edge. I'm getting blocked, and I peek inside to see the run, to what's happening, and then the ball breaks outside and it gets outside of me. Well, my responsibility is to make the play on the outside and not let the ball get outside. And I peeked inside to see where the ball was. And so now then that's just a matter of discipline, but it turns into a big play because it gets outside of the defense, you know. Now, if I stay outside and force the ball back inside, now then it's on somebody else and not on me. But in my zeal to try to make a play, I peek inside because I want to make the play, but then the ball gets outside. So sometimes you have to go through, you know, that experience to know you need to stay outside when you are the force guy. You know, now, if you're not the force guy and somebody else has force, then you can go inside. You know, and the same thing occurs in the passing game sometimes, you know. A guy takes a read on the quarterback and he goes where he thinks the ball is going to go, but then when the ball goes somewhere else, now you've got a void in the defense. So, you know, some of those things are occurring, and I think that those things are fixable.
It's also locating talent on the other side. And with C.J. Spiller moved around, give Buffalo credit. It was impressive what they did. Now, let's take this week's opponent, New Orleans. We all know about Darren Sproles. He was incredible at Olathe North. K-State's all-time receiver, basically running back. New Orleans does the same. Look at how they use him here in a variety of ways, whether it's lining up as a wide receiver, we see a scissors route that like they ran with Spiller, or coming out of the backfield. How much does he become a number one in finding him this week?
Well, he's the playmaker for them, and they've got some other guys in Pierre Thomas and, of course, Mark Ingram. But the fact is he can line up in the backfield. He can be receiver. He has, what, last week, he has 13 receptions for 128 yards. You know, the one thing that I don't think people give enough credit to, I always talk about, yeah, he's small. But the fact is when he's small, he's hard to hit. He's 5'6". And I'll tell you, when he lines up in the backfield, quite honestly, I've heard linemen and linebackers talk about it. Sometimes the smaller backs, you can't see them. And then all of a sudden they're at full speed before you know what's going on. So he does some things like this. It's an issue. He is a playmaker. He was a big pickup a couple years ago for the New Orleans Saints and certainly a big loss for San Diego Chargers. Wow. But he's somebody you have to account for at all times, Mitch.
When people say we kind of, you know, lift him up because he's from here. No, this guy has been one of the most productive NFL players since he came into the league. He won a Big 12 championship for Kansas State at Arrowhead Stadium against Oklahoma. You mentioned he's diminutive in trying to tackle him, but his speed and his power is something that I think is underrated. But let's just take it from the Chiefs' perspective. There's times, let's be honest, they lost Spiller last week. And with Romeo talking about figuring out, hey, coverages, whose assignment, who's going to do what and do your job, just like this wide receiver screen now. We've seen Atlanta use it, and we have seen Buffalo use it. You know New Orleans is going to put it in the package or to get Sproles in some kind of mismatch. How big is it to locate him, find him, and then making sure everybody has their assignments going from that point forward?
Well, it's a paramount to find him and know what's going on, because if you don't, you run a risk of giving up big plays. That's what we saw last week with Spiller out there. And I think, you know, I think as the Chiefs, if you get out there sometimes as defense and you see something that's odd that you haven't seen before, I think they don't be afraid to call a timeout and stop things and say, okay, wait a minute. We saw something we didn't like, and let's just talk about this a little bit. The college screen, which is just running rampant through the NFL this year.
But he's using it, you said, every game and every week.
It is, and it's very, very popular. And there's times and places where you do play off coverage, at maybe 10 yards off for certain downs and distances. And I wonder sometimes whether teams are seeing that and they're checking to that, or whether it's just an automatic. So I think the Chiefs have to be wary about that as well.
We have heard already online from Connecticut. We've heard from Ohio. We know that folks are trying to figure this out, as we are, because we want to win in New Orleans as much as anybody, and they're working upstairs right now trying to figure out how to do that. But Derrick Johnson, first of all, let me ask you about him being a stand-up guy. He's been on this team since 2005, one of 9 first-round draft picks on this roster. That hasn't happened in 27 years. You'll see me discuss it online later this week. But DJ is an upfront guy. Let's start with that. It's easy to hide during these times, but what about DJ being up front and center?
Well, DJ is a leader, and he does a nice job of it in terms of he knows somebody has to get up there and talk about things. And sometimes, as a leader, you want to take some pressure off some other guys who don't want to talk about some things. And there's nothing wrong with that when they're young, because maybe they're just not comfortable. But I like the fact that he'll talk about it. He said, you know what, I didn't get to my gap, or I didn't do this, or I did some good things. He'll tell you how it is. That's what you want as a, I say middle backer. I know he's the weak side backer, but one of the inside backers in a 3-4. I like his demeanor and how he is. He's a stand-up every time after the game. He'll talk to you about what happened in the game. He'll give you some insight.
Hey, sometimes in this league, you just have to reboot. You got to just kind of look at it and start all over. For the Kansas City Chiefs defensively, based on what's happened the last 2 weeks, to win in New Orleans, it might be reboot time. Let's see what Derek Johnson thinks.
Derek, how do you fix the mental errors?
Got to go back to the drawing boards. Communication has to be right on defense. And mental errors are mistakes in the game that's not physical. It's not the effort that we're putting out there on the field. It's just the communication part. Just playing together as a defense, playing team defense. We're missing a bit right now.
Are you concerned that you're 0-2 and heading into former Super Bowl champ like the New Orleans Saints?
It's more of a sense of urgency right now to win. Kind of like last year, you know, you get down 0-2 and, you know, you don't want to start pressing because when you press or try to make things happen, you tend to mess up at times. But somehow we're going to have to press a little bit, but get a win. We got to get a win. We got to get one win right this week, and that's the plan, going down to New Orleans and getting a win. And it's going to be hard, but yeah, this is the NFL.
Derek, you talked about communication problems. Is mm-hmm. that communication problems between players, between coaches and players? How do you describe that?
Communication problems between players, myself and other guys on the team. Just at times we're not on the same page, and that happens sometimes in football because it's never perfect. But it hurts even worse when they capitalize off your mistakes and it's a touchdown, or you capitalize off your mistakes and it's 30, 40 yard run or 40 yard pass. So it's one of those things where we have to lower our mental errors and just gotta. It's a communication part. We have to play better, and we will. Just need to do it now.
Again, we appreciate you following us on kcchiefs.com. I particularly like the compliment, the Chucky look.
Yeah, right there, very nice.
Okay, so I'm going Gruden. Got the Gruden hair going. I'm all over the place. just need to get a win. So thank you for that. Anyway, let's flip it over now to the offensive side of the football. For Kansas City in this game, when the game was on the line, 7 out of the 9 drives, there was either a negative play or a sack or a penalty that derailed the train. What about handling the line of scrimmage in the Buffalo game, and what about handling it against the New Orleans Saints?
Well, as you see there in some plays, you know, we had times we had the offensive line getting knocked back. That can't happen. For the Chiefs to be successful in New Orleans, they have to handle the line of scrimmage. They've got to get to push. You've got to get the running backs to the line of scrimmage untouched so they can make some cuts and do some things like you'd see Jamaal Charles doing right there, going to the left side of the line. That is paramount. And, of course, they've got to protect the QB. We talked about that. But you talk about the positives. Baldwin gets involved.
Yep.
Bo does some good things. Boss, before the injury, is doing some good things. So you've got the positives there, but you've got to stack more one on top of the other.
In the run game, I want to ask you, because the Chiefs will run a stretch play, whether it's Charles or Peyton Hillis, they like to run the power O kind of situation. But you've got to win those battles in the first microseconds of the play to get that done. What about winning those battles this week?
Well, it's what I talked about. As an offensive lineman, you've got to either stone, you've got to hold your ground and not get pushed back and give the playmakers a chance to make a play. That's what this game is about. I mean, everybody has roles. If your role is to be a star, you've got to step up and be a star. If your role is to knock somebody down so somebody else can be that star, that's what you've got to do as well.
Again, Kansas City not able to get the running game going until later, but Charles never got going, just 6 carries, 3 yards. This was a very revealing play. Kyle Williams has been hard to block for this team. Then you throw in Darius and Mario Williams and Mark Anderson. We mentioned the money they spent on the defensive line, and it showed up
right
in week 2 for Buffalo. But you mentioned the positives. Kansas City right now, after 2 weeks, is third in the National Football League of completions of 20 yards or more. Now, they started to get some chunk plays. Yeah, it's 35-3, and you can say it's garbage time. But this is a 3rd-and-17 pickup of 18 yards. But what I was encouraged about was getting Bo and Baldwin involved, numbers to boundary. It reminds me of a game in the Chiefs got drilled in Denver in 2010, but they got the passing game going with Bo. It was one of Matt's better games statistically. It didn't show up on the scoreboard, but that led to several weeks after that, because they got the engine going and lit the pilot light, if you will, and these are numbers to boundaries throws, which we thought the Chiefs could exploit against Buffalo. What about getting chunk plays, numbers to boundary with the big wide receivers?
Well, when you talk about chunk plays, that's a big thing in the NFL in terms of you can't have 9, 10, 11 play drives all the time. You have to pick up those chunks, and you talked about it in terms of the Chiefs doing that. You talked about the field distribution, getting the ball over the place. As an offense, if you're able to get the ball over the place and then you're also able to run the ball effectively like you see right there, that makes the difference as well, because now the defense is stretched, they're stressed, and then when you can do some things like this, which is throw a quick screen, now you've got them on their heels, and that's what you want as an offense, is to put the defense on their heels. When you can get at least three receivers really involved in things and you can go downfield like you see right here and make a catch like he does, that allows you to open up everything else on the inside.
It's what we saw in St. Joe, quite honestly, that got us excited. Now, Bo wasn't there, but we saw it from Baldwin. And now with Bo able to make some plays to the outside like this one, I mean, he's difficult to defend. Both these guys are, because they're so big. And let's be honest, the New Orleans Saints, I mentioned Kansas City's third in the league right now, have completions of 20 yards or more. The Saints have yielded 13 such passing plays in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, I think the secondary of New Orleans is a little bit suspect. And when you've got a receiver who's 6'2" and in Bo, and then you've got 6'4" in Baldwin, you want to take advantage of that size. And you see that. You see those guys jumping up. As a QB, I think Matt Castle wants to feel like if he throws the ball, there are only two things that can happen, either an incompletion or my guy's coming down with it. And I think those are the type of receivers that the Chiefs have in Bo and Baldwin. If that's the case, you get some good things going, and quite honestly, that's what has to happen. But again, you've still got to take care of that line of scrimmage, get the run game going, because the run game is a QB's best friend.
One thing the Chiefs need to get rid of, and talking to Romeo already this week, we talked to him on the Chiefs Kingdom radio show last night, were the sacks. Six sacks, the negative yardage. We mentioned negative run plays, but they've become drive killers.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing Drew Brees does so very well, and I love Drew Brees' game ever since he was a high school quarterback in Texas, but he'll get rid of the ball. He won't take sacks necessarily. And what about the Chiefs need to do a better job of just not taking the negative play?
Well, when the negative plays, that you talked about chunks. That's as far as offense being successful. What kills the drives and what you're talking about is when you take those negative plays, and that's what's really derailed the Chiefs here lately. The offense has to have an understanding. I think Daboll's talked about the fact of it's okay to be 0 yards, but we just can't take those negative plays. We've heard it preached, and you hear it preached all the time, but that's the one thing that they've really got to focus on.
And if you do have him, you got to overcome him. But quite honestly, again, if you look at the Atlanta game and the Buffalo game, when the game was on the line, still in doubt, and the Chiefs were moving the ball, let's just take the first series of the game. Kansas City moved past the 50, had some chunk plays, the throw to Hillis when Buffalo was misaligned. But the negative run that we saw, Charles, he lost three.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up stalling the drive, and Kansas City's got to punt the football. Against New Orleans, it would be nice to avoid, let's just say, the negative runs and try to establish some consistency on offense in the drive and the ball.
Well, you're right. You want to stop getting into situations where the defensive line can pin their ears back and they're coming after it. You do not want the defensive line playing the run on the way to the passer. That's just too much of an advantage as a defensive lineman. Offensive linemen hate that. So they've got to stop that side of it, and I think they will. You talked about rebooting, reassessing. That's what they've got to do this week. They've got to look at things. You talked about Brees in terms of what he's doing. He's felt a lot of pressure this year. I think that offensive line in front of him is not what it's always been, and he's a guy that is just thrives on that, but he's gotten rid of the ball several different times. And really, he's getting rid of it. I think he's taken a few too many chances. Let's face it, he's untouchable down there, and that's compliment to him to what he can do. But he can take chances. He can do what he wants. And right now, I think he's making some mistakes. He's turning the ball over, and certainly they've had issues this year, and it's not what they're accustomed to. And let's be honest also, they had a lot of off-season turmoil go on. It's even going on this week. So that's stuff that even while those guys may not be there, it's the Saints, and they're dealing with it.
Sure, and Sean Payton's not on the sideline. Jovitt's not running the defense. Let's just take a look at the Saints' offseason. This goes all the way back to mid-January. They lose to the 49ers in the playoffs, but then, just weeks later, Greg Williams leaves the team, signs with the Rams. But then it starts to get out in March that the NFL has suspended Sean Payton for, well, Jay Payton up there, but it's Sean Payton for the 2012 season, and then suspends four players in May for the participation in the bounty scandal. Now, for, we consider and argue the bounty talk all the rest of the show. However, there is video of it, of before that San Francisco game, of Greg Williams, Excelsior Springs, Missouri native, of putting it out there.
Right.
Also, just month by month, week by week, this became a story, and even the Drew Brees holdout was a part of their offseason issues. So no team in the NFL has had to deal with more than the Saints since the end of last year.
And as I said, they're still dealing with it this week, with Williams having reportedly signed something this week. So it doesn't matter, even if some of the guys that were there weren't involved with it. It's a story that goes on, and it just draws away from what's going on, and it is a distraction. I mean, from the Chiefs' side of it, that can be a good thing. But, again, the Chiefs have to go down. It's a loud Superdome. I was there for 4 years. They get crazy there. They have a good time. Noise will be an issue. The Chiefs have to, again, we talked about it, reassess what's going on and figure out a game plan that makes the best use of the weapons they have on both offense and defense.
This is really one of the greatest venues of football, whether professional or college, for years and years and years. There have been just dozens of gigantic games inside the Superdome involving the Saints or involving Sugar Bowls or something right. else. There have been just tremendous games, national championship games and Super Bowls in there. But a couple of things before we go to break. One, I want to talk about Drew Brees. I've admired Brees as much as maybe anybody in the league in playing that position. He is not physically imposing, if you meet Drew, but he is a tactician. He gets to his backdrop as good as anybody in the National Football League. This guy is a warrior. He has been a highly productive player. He's not the physical specimen right. that a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning is, and yet he gets it done. I respect Drew Brees to the max.
Drew Brees is a great player. He's done some great things. You talked about how he gets to his back foot so quickly. He does that, quite honestly, because he has to, because he couldn't be successful if he didn't. At 6 foot, he's got to get back there, and he's got to be able to find windows, because at 6 foot, it's hard to throw over the defensive lines if you don't get windows. When I talk about a window, the offensive line, his offensive line, creating areas where he can throw through, because he's not throwing over people, so he gets back there quick. He does a good job. I think he's as good as there is getting to his second and third reads, and really that's what I think makes a quarterback very, very successful. So I think defensively from Kansas City's side, if they can disguise some coverages, try to confuse him, which is not easy to do, but it is possible. We've seen it done before. If they can do that, that gives them a good sense, or good chance rather, to have some success.
I know I'm going Chucky on you, but Snapper, that's how I roll when you're 0-2. You've got to find a way to win. So, yeah, I'm Chucky today. One final thing before we go to the break and hear from the great people at Ford. Special teams, we didn't touch on it at all. The Chiefs now have given up a 77-yard kickoff return, no touchdown against Atlanta, but it was gigantic in giving Atlanta a short field. And an 88-yard punt return for a touchdown by McKelvin of the Bills. That, speaking of auditing everything while the plant's open, that has got to go away.
Well, it does, and I might as well push a button for who we're talking about. But again, that's Sproles, and that's a guy who does a great job returning. He's been doing it for years. Certainly with what's happened the first 2 weeks with the 77-yard kickoff return and then, of course, the punt return last week for a touchdown, that's something that the Chiefs have to shore up rather quickly, and especially with a guy like Sproles back there.
A positive was getting a nice return from Javier Arenas. Mm-hmm. That gave Kansas City a short field. They ended up getting 3 points out of it, but it was good to see the Chiefs pop a nice return to try to, again, we've said this before, not necessarily have to score out of it, but what about just creating positive field position and shorten the field?
Well, you're exactly right. If you return a kick, a punt, for over 10 yards, you're basically getting a first down for your offense. You want your offense, you want to create as good a field position, as short a field as you can for them. So, again, we talk about those chunks. So if you get a couple chunks or just get one chunk in a drive, now you're at least in field goal position, and you have a chance to go to the end zone and maybe get a touchdown as well. So special teams is a big, big part of it, one that oftentimes goes overlooked.
He's the Snapper. Some call me Mitchie the Kid. Some call me the Voice. Today I'm Chucky, okay? Chucky. Time to go to New Orleans and win a game. We will talk about some more key points with the Chiefs against the Saints and trying to get to the win column when we come back after these important messages.
40. Charles is going to go. See you later.
Since the 1970s, the percentage of overweight children has tripled in the United States. The Chiefs, along with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, invite you to join us in the battle against childhood obesity. To learn more, click on the banner to the right of this video.
I think we're part of a very special family that's connected in many different ways. Not just here in Kansas City, but let's talk about the fans around the country. I have great memories, fond memories of this city, this town. More importantly, the fans, because they're the ones who supported us. Yeah, it's unbelievable that I've been a part of more than half of this team's existence here in Kansas City. I feel very fortunate that I was able to be a part of that history.
Chiefs fans are a lot different than any other NFL fans, in my opinion. You know, that when you come to a game at Arrowhead, it truly is almost that college-like atmosphere where the fans are into it. You know, they really care about their football. It's not just a, hey, we're going to go out and enjoy a game. I mean, they are into it. They're behind you. And they are definitely a big home field advantage for us.
And welcome back. And now we try to take a look at our Chiefs breakdown. It's Kansas City, the Chiefs Kingdom. We've heard from you online. Everybody wants a win this week, hungry for a win, as the Chiefs try to get it done against the New Orleans Saints. And let's go more into the Saints, because there are some things that are very interesting when you look at New Orleans' 0-2 start. First of all, they're scoring points. They're averaging about 30 points a game. And with Drew Brees, they're going to get it done. But we're seeing Drew Brees maybe trying to do too much with this team.
You're right. He's thrown some interceptions that you're not used to. You saw right there, he didn't careless with the football. That's not intercepted, but that's certainly not. That's an ill-advised pass that he doesn't want to make. Right there, he's throwing it over there. I mean, it's things that you're not used to seeing from a Pro Bowl quarterback doing what he's doing. You're seeing drops from him as well. That's something that certainly is not his fault, but it's something they're dealing with. And right there, one that could have been caught. So, this is a guy that this year he's 54%. Completion. That is not the Drew Brees we know. That's the one we want to see on Sunday, and we don't care after that, but he's not doing the things that you're accustomed to seeing Drew Brees do. That right there at the beginning of the game, that interception, you know, things like that as a QB you can't do, but for whatever reason, he's doing them. He's staying in the pocket. I think he's trying to stay too long sometimes, but the fact is you saw right there, he gets sacked, and again, that's something that alludes to what we've got to do, the Chiefs have to do, which is put pressure on him this week.
Let's go to the numbers, and this is, I mean, the numbers don't lie here. To me, there's a couple numbers that jump off the board. One, the average per completion. He's always been one of the highest in the league. Look at 8.34 to 6.57. That's below what the Chiefs have done. His quarterback rating has dropped. You mentioned he had 14 interceptions all of 2011, but right now he's projected to throw 32. Now, he's not going to throw 32 picks this year. But this is a guy that set the all-time NFL passing record last year, and I mentioned that I love this guy, but he's doing things I've never seen him do. I didn't see him do it at Purdue when he made Purdue a perennial bowl team and a Big Ten challenger when he was there with Joe Tiller in that wide open attack. So the Chiefs have a chance here. The other thing I saw I want to ask you about is New Orleans protection, because we saw Zach Strief get beat on the right side, then we saw Bushrod get beat on the left side, then we saw Carolina beat him up the middle. There are some issues here maybe with the New Orleans offensive line. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there are, and that's something that he's not used to seeing is a lack of protection, but you're seeing it come from all sides. As a QB, if you're getting it from all sides, you don't know what to think, and we saw it earlier in terms of him holding on to the ball too long. I think he's trying to make plays and feels like that's his job as the team leader and with everything going on, and sometimes, you know, we talked about it from the Chiefs' side. When you're trying to do too much sometimes, things don't go the way they should. I think from an offensive side of things, he's trying to do too much. He's trying to take it upon himself, and right now it's not working for him.
The other number that goes beyond the numbers here is the blitz passer rating. It's something that kind of the stats beyond the stats, and usually he's been near the top. Mentioned he gets to his back point faster than anybody in the league. He's 30th in the league right now in blitz passer rating, and we saw in the video, people are getting to him in the first 2 weeks where that hasn't happened necessarily in the past with him. So is it mechanical with him, or does it go back to the O-line? Has it become, you know, what he's gone through in the offseason? I mean, it's just a – maybe it's a, all of the above.
Well, at some point in time, people do decline. I don't think that's happened to him right now. I think defenses are confusing him a little bit. I think they realize that they have to confuse him, because if they don't, they can't have success. You know, when you get blitzed, you normally have some type of hot routes built in, and you've got to throw it quick, and he hasn't been as successful doing that this year. That's the thing. You've got to confuse him. This is a savvy guy, Mitch. We all know this. This guy knows what's going on. You've got to confuse him, so he's just not quite sure. Maybe he rushes things a little bit. I think it's big this week that the Chiefs' defensive line get those hands up and try to close those windows that he has to throw through and maybe get some tip balls, things of that nature. Things like that really, really just mess with a QB's psyche, I believe.
Let's flip it to the other side. New Orleans has been giving up big plays. We mentioned the Chiefs again, third in the NFL in plays of 20 yards or more. But the New Orleans Saints are near the bottom of the league in allowing such plays. 15 plays of 20 yards or more, 12 completions. Carolina did it. How did Carolina get after these guys?
You know what? They were just doing all kinds of different things. Now, some of it people would say, well, you've got Cam Newton and he's running the ball. And that is to a degree, but they were throwing the ball all over the place. They were successful running the ball, and they kept them on their toes. I mean, there were several times where that defense for New Orleans brought five people, sometimes six, to try to put a rush on them, and they weren't successful doing that. So it's an issue. See right there, the play action, they throw a screen over to the left side. There's nobody there. They've completely confused New Orleans from a defensive side of the ball.
And these are pocket throws, Kendall. When we were watching a video of this, he's not sprinting out or running boots. I mean, what you think? And Cam Newton can run. We all know that. But these are pocket throws. Here he finds Steve Smith wide open. That's a breakdown in communication for the Saints.
Well, you're right. And again, that can be a side of when a defense gets frustrated and people are trying to do too much. You see it right there.
Like the Chiefs.
Yeah, exactly right. Now all of a sudden, you have a busted coverage. And for there, it doesn't go for a TD. That's what happened this last week we saw against the Bills. But those are things that the Chiefs have to do. They've got to take that formula. They've got to look at the Carolina tape, certainly, and try to see what worked and what they can emulate. There's some things you're not going to do. The QB, that's a different situation. Cam's a different type of person. But the Chiefs have the weapons. They can spread the ball around. You talked about earlier, they've got to go down the field deep, intermediate routes, and you've got to get the running game going.
Saw the numbers, both teams, Chiefs and Saints, last in the league in points allowed. Both have allowed 75 points. The Saints have given up more yards. They're last in the league in yards allowed. So let's boil it down as we close. How do the Chiefs win in New Orleans?
You know what? I don't think it needs to be a shootout. I think the defense has to hold them down. But I think what it comes down to it is the Chiefs, first off, they have to be positive in the turnover ratio. It's hard to win in this league if you're not positive in the turnover ratio. They've got to rattle Breeze as much as you can rattle them, and they've got to confuse them a little bit. If that happens, they have a good chance to come away with a win.
I know they have Lance Moore. He's very good. They have Colson. He's very good. They also have a great tight end. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's fine Sproles. If you start with Sproles, I mean, Jimmy Graham's tough. We all know that.
Right.
But if you find Sproles, you can try to deal with the other guys. If Sproles is running free like C.J. Spiller was, you're in for a long day.
Well, you're right. It can't happen. And because if it does, it will be a long day.
All right. He's the snapper. I'm Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live. Hopefully next week we'll go bobblehead with a win. But Kansas City needs to get it done this week on the road in the place they won Super Bowl IV. So maybe a little of Lenny's magic comes back this week and the Chiefs can get a win in New Orleans.